Welcome to our second class on the Christian at work. Tonight, we're going to talk about did everybody have their brochure just out of curiosity? Does everybody kind of remember? Have it? Excellent. You got tonight because we're going to look at it quite a bit. And I'll go over this in a second. If you don't have one, don't worry. I've got a bunch of extras. But tonight our class is going to be on. We're going to ask the question: how are your relationships? So that's the class tonight. We started last week talking about the Christian at work. And we talked about how Peter and I found about 98 scriptures. And we went through Proverbs and we said, does that apply to work? We kind of just started marking them down. We found about 98. And we said, well, how can we put together like a little three-class series on these 98 scriptures? And we came up with a series of what we thought were three big topics that we ought to cover to give us a first one was just, what's our perspective about work? What's our attitude about work? How do we see work? Just getting an understanding of that, because sometimes we just go work and we don't think about, why am I doing this? And we answered that question last week. And we basically said that work has an element of suffering and has an element of wealth about it that God gives us. And really, the challenge the Proverbs help us with is handling those two things in the right way, in a healthy way, in a way that will help us to grow spiritually. The second class tonight we're going to talk about is how are our relationships. We're going to talk about, and we'll get into this a little bit, and you'll understand why relationships are so important at work. And then our class next week, Peter will be here, and he's going to do the class on how's your motivation. There's a lot of Proverbs speaks to a lot of that topic. So tonight my class is how's your relationships. I have some extras, a generous grant made available. So if you didn't get one last week, you're welcome to. I'll split them in half, and you guys can pass them around. And feel free to take one. If you have one from last week, definitely hang on to it and bring it out. And we're going to use it tonight, our little study guide. And this is just a brochure of all the scriptures we found. We kind of separated them out, and it's kind of neat to read it that way. What I want to do to start off, you go to a movie and you see those little vignettes before the movie. They're kind of like little stories in themselves. Well, I thought I'd want to do one for Proverbs tonight before our class. So if you would turn to Proverbs chapter 8, we're going to read a passage that really touched me about wisdom. And I hope it touches you. And talks, in this passage, the writer of Proverbs, probably Solomon, gives wisdom a personification, almost like a human-like personification when he describes, in trying to help us understand how important wisdom is and how powerful it can be and how significant wisdom is. And we're going to start reading verse 22. Thanks, Steve. And this is wisdom talking in the first person. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. Before his deeds of old, I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields, or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. Amen. Think about that. Wisdom is something that God is giving us access to. The same person that was there when he was creating the world and when he used it to make the world, he's giving us access to that same wisdom here, and putting it into practice. So I just thought that really hit me as like, wow, that's something pretty good to have. Okay, let's start off here. I have a question, and I've got like the last class, the I through S's when I did this, I kind of offered a little prize. I don't know if I'm that brave with this group, because I think you guys might nail me on this, but I offered a prize, and I said to him, I'll give you a prize. I didn't really specify what it was, because I knew I was going to win. Now, And I don't know, I might not, you know, you guys look like you might be able to stump me on this one, but question, is there work, is there any type of job that you can think of where relationships are not important? You don't have to have a relationship. I thought about, you know, my wife suggested, how about a toll booth operator? You know, one of those people that take the money? I said, well, you know, I drive by there every day, and I give them a relationship, you know. I thought about, you know, Kevin Costner in Dances with Wolves, you know, for about the first half of the movie, he was there by himself in that little tent. That was, you know, pretty close. Okay, so, you know, it's tough, isn't it? There's really not hardly anything. I mean, the job you have or what you do if you're a student or you're working, you know, and relationships are pretty important, you know. I mean, it's a big part of it. And now I've got a little chart here. I'm going to go through this, and I want to talk for a minute about what kind of work relationships are there. And I put this little chart together to help us just kind of as a point of discussion. And that's me. That's you in the middle. And just about all of us, you know, some of us may not have this, but just about all of us, typical job, we have a supervisor, right? We have the person. That's probably the main person, you know. Well, if anyone needs to be happy with us, it's probably that person, right? You know, and some of us, if we're managers, almost all of us, we're going to have subordinates. We're going to have people that we, you know, they look to us as sort of like, he's the man, you know, or the woman, you know, he's the person. So that's the typical, we think about a typical office, that's typically the relationships we have. Well, I wanted to, talk about a little more. There's also some other angles that you have relationships with. You know, on this line right here, we have, well, actually, let's start this line first. We have, you know, what I call authority, just other authority that's out there that's important to your job. It may not be your direct supervisor, but it might be like, you know, if you're a truck driver, you know, it could be a police officer, right? You know, if you're a truck driver, those traffic laws are pretty important. You know, just as important as your supervisor. You know, when I was 20 years old, I had a lesson on this one because I was working as a student. I was 21. They college student working part time at Georgia Tech, and they sent me out on this adventure to drive this dump truck. You know, and I was like, man, this co-op student, 21 year old or 20 or whatever, driving a dump truck around full of heavy stuff because we were doing this structural test loading it. But if you've ever been to Buckhead Plaza, that was back when it was being built, way back then when I was a student. And you drive out there and you had to load up, you know, and do these load tests. And so I'm driving down little 10-foot wide lanes in this huge truck, you know, driving down and pulling into the side of the road. Everybody parked on the side of the road. You know, I was on East Paces Ferry Road, you know, 20,000 vehicles a day, you know, and I'm pulling off the side in the construction site. I'm pulling up, you know, get out. You know, and go find the guy that I'm working for on that project. Go looking for him and find him. And I found him. And hey, how you doing? And then, happened that there was this wonderful, this neat little car that came pulling up behind it. You know, beautiful little, you know, antique type car. It was very beautiful. I've never seen a car like it before. We'll see one again. And he came driving up. You know, it was like his business car. You know, he was like a fine interior design, you know, architectural treatment type car, you know, and it was very beautiful. And of course, the instructions that I got were I had to go back that truck up, you know, and drive it somewhere. So I, you know, started backing the truck up. And, you know, trucks are big and you don't really know that things are, you know, you don't feel anything when you start backing it up. You know, it's like, you know. And so I learned about authority right there. You know, there's authority other than my boss, you know, when the police came and wrote me a ticket. I got to go, and, you know, I think it was just like a, you know, I mean, the company took it in stride. I was actually kind of, you know, kind of surprised that they kind of just mentioned it one time, and, you know, that was about it. They just paid a $20,000 check. But, you know, authority's out there, you know, sometimes you don't think about that in our relationships, but we've also got to have a good relationship with authorities. And then we have the general public. You know, we got people that just, you know, that we work with day in and day out that might just be encountering us as we're off outside of our office, that we have to make sure that, you know, we have, you know, we got to be, you know, we've got to watch how we behave, you know, what we're doing. And those are relationships that we have. And then, of course, there's, you know, if you own your business, or if you work in a business that's very client-driven, you have clients. And those are very important relationships to have, that you've got to have. And then, of course, you've got colleagues. I kind of put them on the same axis. And those are the people that you work with that maybe aren't your supervisor, or that maybe, but you've got to have good relationships with them. And those sometimes can be the toughest. So I wanted to throw that out there to kind of expand, you know, relationships, you know, work relationships. When we talk about, when we look at these passages tonight, work relationships are a lot more than just your boss and whoever might work with you, but there's all these different people too. Okay, let's go, and we're going to have a little interaction here. I want to get some input from you guys. I could show you what the last folks said, but I think y'all will come up here. Okay. And I got the blue pen. It's going to be good, and then we'll talk about bad in a minute. Okay, from your experience, what are characteristics of a workplace or of a place with good work relationships? What are characteristics that you see in a place that has good work relationships overall there? Okay, so good communication. You've got, you know, people are communicating, you know, bosses and
respect.
Okay, that's a good one. People feel respected there. I saw someone else's hand up over there. Oh, Tammy?
A boss that cares.
Okay, so there's concern for the individual and workers, concern for staff or
clear expectations.
Okay, so kind of like under the category of kind of communication, you know what to expect at work. Expected goals or expected, you know, observations. Okay, so good as like a family and beyond just you, but you know, you as a family and what we're trying to, what's important to you is also important to them. Frankie. Okay. Well, I guess you're gonna already know what I'm gonna say here. And I why don't we do this? Think about, you know, what would be some characteristics of a place that has bad work relationships? What would be going on? Tracy?
No profits.
No profits?
Yeah.
Okay. That's probably, at the end of the day, it could be true, Steve.
Gossip.
Gossip, okay. So gossip's going on. Elaine?
Lack of leadership.
A lack of leadership? Okay. So basically, the leader's not leading, or leaders, or the people that manager's not leading, or every man for himself type of edit. Carlos.
I think like a high turnover rate.
Okay, something turn.
Yeah.
High turnover. That's a good point. Yeah, that's definitely probably a symptom. That's a good one. Albert.
Low morale.
Okay, so. Coming to work's not, people don't look forward to coming to work. The alarm rings too early, or whatever. Michelle.
I would say unsafe environment.
Unsafe, okay. Well, that's true. I mean, it could be, you know. I mean, how about just a couple more? Anne Marie. Okay, dishonesty. That's. Thank you all for the input. But you can see that, you know, you can be in a place that has, you know, really good relationships, and you can be at a place that, and I think all of us probably have experienced a little bit of both. I mean, anybody not? I know I can tell you I have, and, you know, a lot of those characteristics. I just wanted us to go through that, to think a little, to kind of expand our minds, think a little bit about what we would have. What I want to do for the class tonight, and kind of following up on this, is there's something, you know, we can all do about these things. And I have six observations that I'd like to make. You know how they have you all seen these billboards? You're having this big event with all these people, like Rudy Giuliani and Colin Powell, and, you know, the motivational thing. You pay $1.95 and you can go and hear all that. Well, I'm going to offer my own sort of, if I was a motivational speaker tonight. And I'm going to get. The good thing about doing it the first time, doing this a couple times, I can kind of pre-warn you. You know, some of these won't be. I don't think they'll be what you expect. So I'm going to kind of I'm going to try to surprise you a little bit, give you something a little off the beaten path, and you might be startled by how I present it, because I'm going to try to present it like a motivational speaker, try to give a little oomph. But it may not be what you it probably wouldn't be what you're going to hear down there. But what's interesting is the reason I'm sharing this is when I started studying Proverbs, saying what are some things I'm getting out of these relationships. It was surprising to me what I was seeing in terms of putting this together. When you kind of got these passages and you got to put them on one page together. And you start reading, you start seeing some patterns that, like, there's a message here that's being told that I haven't heard very often when I'm at work, you know, as a person who works. So let me share these and see what you think afterwards. I hope you find that, you know, it gives you some food for thought and something thinking a little different. So welcome to my class tonight on having a great working relationship. I'm excited to be here. And my first point I want you to walk away with is, mind your own business. How about that one? Mind your own beeswax. Keep your nose where it belongs. And I want to look at our brochure tonight. No. Okay, I'm going to kind of go out of character now. Okay. But mind your own business. Amazing. Let's look at our brochure. And we're going to look, let's start in Proverbs 26, verse 17. Like one who seizes a dog by the ears is a passerby who meddles in a quarrel not his own. Have you ever seen that in a workplace? You know, it's just, I want to figure out what's going on. I got to be interim director of the department at Norcross for about a year last year. And now I have another person who's doing the job, and I'm perfectly happy with that, and fine. But I've got to admit that before I got to be the interim director, I used to sort of, you know, have this. I'd sit in the office, and you know, I'd been there about 6 months as a city engineer, and I kind of say, you know, man, I wish I could go to one of those the department head meetings. Well, those things are really interesting. I wonder what's going on in there, you know. Or I'd look at the mail cubicles, you know, and I'd sit there and say, man, I never get any mail. I just get junk mail. I get a little, you know, they give me the catalogs for all the engineering products, you know. That's all I ever get. You know, it's nothing ever interesting comes in. Man, I look at Jennifer as my boss. You know, she was the director of the department. She gets all kinds of interesting mail. Man, I bet it'd be so interesting to see what it's like. You know, and I mean, you know, so I had, you know, there wasn't really a hard mind your own business lesson in that, except that when I finally became the interim director, I was like, why was I worried about all that stuff? You know, I got to the meetings, I was like, oh, she tells us all this stuff anyway, and you know, and the mail was just, she just got more junk mail than I got. So, you know, hey, put some perspective on it. You know, it's not, you know, sometimes we look at something and we're so tempted not to mind our own business that we think it's so, something's going on over there, you know, and I got to know everything, you know, inquiring minds, we've got to know. But really, you know, there's a lot of Proverbs. We're going to read a couple of other ones. But, you know, grabbing a dog by the ears, you know, Jessica and I were up in, we're up in Baltimore for our anniversary about a month ago, you know, and it was anniversary day. The 21st of September is our anniversary, Tuesday morning, and we were in the streets of the inner harbor of Baltimore. You know, beautiful place. They got Camden Yards right there, and they've really dressed it up. And just, you know, looks great. And, you know, it was, you know, Tuesday morning at 9, so everyone's already in their offices, and we're at the, you know, the hotel. We just had finished having breakfast. I had chocolate chip pancakes, and, you know, I just got finished. We're out there for a little walk afterward. I'm walking, you know, oh, what a beautiful day. I mean, it's a beautiful day that day, you know, about 70 degrees in the morning. Walk out, and we're walking out in the street, and there's this, you know, the red light, and the traffic signal is these two cars. And, you know, the first car comes pulling up, and it was a lady, like, it was a public bus. It was on one of the public buses, and it was red. And the guy pulls up behind her, and it's a gentleman, probably maybe mid-30s or whatever. And he was just honking his horn, you know, and just carrying on, you know, like yelling, you know, move, you know. And we're walking down the sidewalk, you know, because we're kind of walking by it. So we walk by, and the ladies look, you know, the bus driver's looking all disconcerned, you know. And then up the patio, the manager of the restaurant was looking at us, you know, looking at the situation, kind of, man, what's going on? This is, you know, that guy's got problems, you know. And so what Jeff does is he turns around, you know, and I make eye contact with the guy in the car. I look at him, and I say, the light's red. you know. And so, you know, got it. And I kind of, you know, and he made eye contact. And then I started walking, and I kept going. And I started thinking to myself, I wonder if he's going to come up behind me and shoot a baseball. genuinely crossed my mind. I said, was that wise? You know. There was another time, of course, I can talk about car situations, but, you know, the point being is, this particular time, what I did is I said, you know what I did? Or, you know, I grabbed a dog by the ears. You know, how many times do we grab a dog by the ears in our workplace? We grab it, you know, and the message to me was, you know what, I grabbed a dog by the ears, and, you know, I was fortunate that the dog really didn't do anything. And sometimes you grab it by the ears, and sometimes it won't do anything. And I think that's, you know, but sometimes that dog's going to, you know, probably take a chunk out of you, you know. And so, you know, the point there is, it's interesting how when you're at work, you know, getting outside of your own business and what you're doing, it can be dangerous stuff. It may not show up all the time. It may not have a ramification. It may never happen again. That probably never see that guy again. But I could have had a baseball bat back of my head. You know, could have happened. So, you know, mind your own business. And we're going to see this more when we talk about something else. But let's go to the next one. And my next observation that I have about, you know, having great relationships at our office is keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. Just to close that hole in your face, keep it closed more. Keep it closed. Just close it up. Let's look in Proverbs 11:12. A man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, the guy next door in his cubicle, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, verse 13, but a trustworthy man, he keeps a secret. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Remember the oracle? See, I got another one here. Proverbs 20, verse 19. A gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid a man who talks too much. That's interesting. The sisters kind of chuckle. But avoid a man who talks too much. And there, you know, there's some of us out there. We talk too much. We got, you know, and Proverbs is saying, hey, avoid them. So you can see here that, you know, it's interesting how many times Proverbs seem to say, when in doubt, you know, just don't say anything. But we know that's not practical, is it? I mean, practical meaning it's not always something that we can really do. Sometimes our job requires us to open our mouths. So the third point, my third observation, have a great relationships at work, is when you must open your mouth, tell the truth. When you got to open it, tell the truth. Let's look at Proverbs 16:13. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. That's one of those things you got to trust. That kings value a man who speaks the truth. And I work in the consulting business, so part of the job in being in the consulting business was telling people bad news. Hey, we didn't get your permit today. Hey, we didn't get the project done on time. You know, and that was sort of the rush of, you know, it seemed like that was probably one of my least favorite things about my job when I was a civil engineer project manager, was getting to call the client and telling them bad news. You know, and so, you know, I think the truth of that is that you've got to trust that the kings you want to work for, will value someone who tells the truth. You know, it's so tempting sometimes just to kind of fudge something. Well, this happened, and we got down to the office at Gwinnett County at 4:58, and you know, they told us it was too late, and so we didn't know that, and so we went back to the office, and we're going to be back in there tomorrow. Or, you know, it got lost at the, you know, it got delayed at the plot, at the reprographic place. You know, that's a civil engineer. That was our favorite. You know, what we do is we got to trust that people will value us if we tell the truth. One thing I do know is whenever bad news happens, bad news doesn't get better with age. That's in my, you know, my business. You know, it's sort of like, you know, it's not like a wine. You know, it just festers and gets worse and gets worse and gets worse, you know. And so, you know, you've got to, when in doubt, you've got to tell the truth. Tell the truth about if you made a mistake. Tell the truth sooner rather than later. You know, I can't promise you won't get fired. But I can promise that you will get fired if you don't tell the truth.
Right.
I can promise you that. I mean, I've seen the people, the only people I know who, you know, who, if you make it, even a big, you know, even a big mistake, you know, huge mistake, you know, just $200,000 type mistakes, to the company type mistakes. I do know that you can save your job if you tell the truth. You got a chance. You got a fighting chance. So go tell the truth. Tell it, you know. Proverbs 12:19. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Here's a good one here. I want to. If you'll indulge me, I want to share about this one because I've had some experience with this, and I think sometimes us as disciples, we need to work on this. Proverbs 10:18. He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. And I was thinking to myself, what does this mean? Well, I went through an experience recently where I got to work with a couple of disciples on a project, and it was sort of like I was a little bit hesitant because sometimes, you know, we have these, you know, reputation. Oh, I don't want to, you know. And I, what I realized is I was tempted, you know, whenever you work with somebody, you know, in any relationship, there's going to be ups and downs, especially in a business thing, you know, a transaction going on, whether it's, you know, whatever. And what I committed myself to is what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell them how I'm feeling. And there were a couple of times, you know, where they might have, man, I didn't know this side. I didn't know Jeff was like this. You know, I mean, I kind of got a little bit like, I got to tell you how I'm feeling right now. I'm terrified. You guys haven't been talking to me. They haven't been telling me what's going on. I want to know what's happening. And I just, because what I realized is I'm just going to tell them what I'm feeling. You know, I said, this deal's got to happen today. I can't go another day without it happening. You know, I was probably, you know, twisting the arms a little bit. But what I realized is after the deal was over, I feel we have a great relationship, and it worked out great. And even, well, it didn't work exactly how we thought it was going to work out, you know. But the thing that I realized is I've dealt with conflict between disciples about business things, and what's always happened is when the person who felt like something wasn't going well didn't talk about their feelings, they were hiding their hatred, they were hiding their stress, they were hiding, I don't feel good about this. And after it's over, it's too late. Now you just got to get with a couple of deacons and try to get resolved. I mean, you know, you can't do anything about it. And what they did is they festered these relations, you know, these attitudes festered for months afterward. And they never forgave each other, never worked through it, you know. And in some ways it was unfair, you know, if you're concealing your hatred in the sense of, you know what, I don't like what's going on right now. You're really doing, you know, your brothers and sisters a disservice by not talking about it. And I realized after it was over, I said, you know what, I feel great. I mean, it's like, I was a little afraid. Am I going to have the same kind of conflict other people have? You know, oh my goodness, I'm a little afraid of this. But after it was over, I just told them how I was feeling. And it was stressful a couple of times, you know. But talk about how you're feeling in your work. You know, and that's just kind of a business thing that I think I've noticed has been a need in our congregation is talk about it. And talk about it while you can still do something about it. You know, let them deliver for you. That's what they did. They delivered for me. It was amazing. They came through. I mean, I realized if I hadn't said anything, they probably wouldn't have. And then I sit here like, I can't believe they didn't come through. They're supposed to be disciples. You know, I mean, we say that and we get a bad attitude. You know, they need to pay me something, you know, or whatever, you know. We go through that. We really need to work on. That's why I wanted to point out that really had some application for me recently. Okay. The other thing is, fourth point, when you must open your mouth, be pleasant and joyful. Be pleasant. Let's look at a couple Proverbs. Proverbs 22:11. He who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend. I mean, you want to have good relationships with the people people in the high up in the organization there, your clients, your supervisor, these people, people we work with out there in the government. Be pleasant, be joyful, have a good attitude. You'll have some friends. Let's look at Proverbs 15:15. All the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. How are you doing? How do you feel right now? Are you feeling wretched, or are you feeling like you're feasting? This proverb is really saying it's really not about your circumstances, it's about your attitude. I mean, any person, you could go to, the guy that just wanted to, these people that, we talked about last week that we kind of fantasize about, man, I want to be like, having all the money in the world, not having to go to work anymore, you could have that, but you could still be wretched, you could still feel, I'm oppressed, oh, I had to pay half my lottery winnings to the government, what would you say? I mean, I can find some stuff to say. All these people are calling me, asking me for money. You can have an attitude, or you can have, or you can have nothing, and have, or have just a little bit, and you'd be living a feast. You're feasting. You're receiving the gift of God, which is to enjoy life. It's all about your attitude. Be pleasant at work. Is your work a feast, or is it kind of an oppression? If you come in there, you can be having a feast if you have a cheerful heart. Verse 30, Proverbs 15, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. Verse 16, 14, this is kind of interesting, or chapter 16, verse 14, a king's wrath is a messenger of death. Boss is in his corner office, and he is fired up, but a wise man will appease it. How can I help solve the problem? Let's see, one more I want to talk about here. Where is it? Here it is, Proverbs 25, verse 15. What time is it? 30, okay. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded. And a gentle tongue can break a bone. I mean, think about what you can break bones with. I mean, you got crowbars, you got, this little bat. Yeah, the bat behind my head, and it broke some bone. there's a lot of things. How about a gentle tongue? You believe that? A gentle tongue at your office. You can be persuaded. The boss comes down, maybe you say, like Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park, this is one of the worst ideas in the long set history of bad ideas comes in, If you ever had that experience happen, I've had that a few times, at least in my own viewpoint. A gentle tongue, patience, you can persuade. Be pleasant when you have to open your mouth. Be joyful. Okay. And this one I got to wave my finger at you, okay? My fifth one here. No scheming. No scheming. You schemers out there, no scheming. No more scheming. That was an interesting one. A scheme, what's a scheme? A scheme is a secret plan. That person next door, that person in the office next door, he got the position and not you. Are you going to rejoice with those who rejoice, or are you going to get your little secret plan together? That person won Employee of the Month and got the parking space. Scheming. Let's look in Proverbs 3:29. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. You want to trust, you know, one of the things we said up there was good relationships is trust, right? You want a trusting work relationship? You want a trusting environment? You know, don't plot harm against people. Don't try to undercut folks and, you know, get in there. They live, you know, you want someone to live trustfully near you? Well, then we need to live trustfully near them. Proverbs 6, verse 12. Let's read this. This is some strong medicine here. A scoundrel and villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart, he always stirs up dissension. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Amen. You won't get a very good, when you do get destroyed, you won't get a very good, a recommendation? You know, there's not a lot of remedy there when you get out. We don't need to be scheming. We need to be not looking for secret plans. And how can I possibly, undercut somebody? Proverbs 10, verse 9, the man of integrity walks securely. But he who takes crooked paths will be found out. He who winks maliciously causes grief, and a chattering fool comes to ruin. Again, it goes back to keep your mouth shut, right? Just chatter, 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 chatter. Gossip, 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 gossip. Manipulate, 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 manipulate. You're going to come to ruin. Okay, final one. My final one for you guys. No self-promotion. How about that one? Well, who's going to promote me then? Well, we're going to find out. No self-promotion. Proverbs 3, verse 27. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. There's one for you guys that are managers. You know, you got somebody. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. Proverbs 27, 21. I'm sorry, that's not the one I was thinking of. Where is that? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Proverbs 25, 6. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence. Do not claim a place among great men. It is better for him to say to you, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before a nobleman. You know, we just got, this is one of those trust issues for us. We just got to trust, God's up on the throne.
That's right.
You know, God's in charge of our careers. You know, sometimes, I've heard bosses say to me, and, I've worked places, and there's an element of truth to it, but it says, you're in charge of your career, and that's true. We need to be, we're the ones primarily, we need to have our motivation, our ambition, our dreams, our things, but we've also got to put it and do it God's way and put it in God's hands and let Him be in charge of our career. And I think self-promotion is one of those that we don't talk about a whole lot, but I think there's the Proverbs seem to have a lot to say about it in terms of, let another praise you and not your own mouth. Let me find the other one in here I wanted to look at with regards to that. Oh, I'm sorry. Proverbs 18:12. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. So you're getting ready, you feeling humble lately, that's probably a good place. You're probably getting ready to get some honor. Which brings me to my final scripture that I want to look at. Proverbs 27:21. The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but man is tested by the praise he receives. And that's pretty cool because, I believe that what these proverbs are saying to us is that if we'll, take these ideas and put them into practice, what's going to happen is you're going to start receiving some praise at your office. You're going to start getting noticed. This guy, man, he's not involved in all this stuff, and he's being productive, and, because a lot of times when you're keeping your mouth shut, you're working. That's one thing I realized too, you're telling the truth, you're showing a little bit of integrity. You know what? I told one of my clients bad news one time. It cost him, it was like a $150,000 type of bad news. And, you know, and he said, and he really, you know, what he appreciated about what he said was, well, how come you didn't have the other guy call me? I said, well, it's my project. I'm responsible for it. You know, and I need to be the one to tell you. And, you know, he really, you know, he appreciated it. He said, you know, that in some ways people will actually respond better. But when you start doing these things, you're going to start getting some praise. Now, the only thing I've got for you now, the final challenge for you is, how are you, you know, if that praise is going to test you. You know, and hopefully that praise will test you and you'll respond with humility. You'll respond with, well, let me keep doing this, what I'm doing. Hopefully I won't, you know, because it says here it's a crucible. Getting praise is like being put in a crucible because you find out what your real character is like. And so I think it's, you know, this is the way I think God helps us to grow is we put these things into practice. We have great relationships. We really work on, you know, being a person that has some good relationships. Then what's going to happen is we're going to start getting some praise. And then by getting that praise, we're going to be in the crucible, and we're going to be able to start growing, because all that pride and everything and all that other stuff is going to start getting burned out of us when we respond with humility. So that's my class. Let's go ahead and have a prayer to close out. Amen. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you, God, for the Proverbs that you have allowed us to understand with the most wisdom that was with you at the beginning, that was your craftsman for creating the world. God, we're thankful that you can give us the opportunity to study wisdom and get an idea of it by reading your word. Thank you for loving us so much, God. It's just you sharing these things with us is like sharing precious information. God, help us put it into practice at our workplaces, God. Let us, grow, God. Let us, when we do get praise, God, let us handle it with humility. And continue, God, to not stray from the paths of success in our relationships, God. We're grateful for tonight, being able to come together for fellowship. Please bless this fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.